We're opening our Bibles this evening to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you'll want to follow along, please, as I begin our reading in verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, or for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I'd like to share with you from 2 Timothy 3 this evening some counsel for those who would continue. Counsel for those who would continue. Let's ask the Lord to bless as we look into His Word. Father, I pray that You would allow us, even in this time when things are shut down, when people are isolated, when we feel trapped, at this specific time, help us to continue faithful. And Lord, I pray that we use the testimony of our church family in this hour to make a difference in the lives of others, that we would hear of souls coming to Christ and Your people continuing desiring to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Have you ever tried to hold your breath while driving through a tunnel? Children love to be challenged to see if they can hold their breath while driving through a tunnel. My favorite tunnel is the Eisenhower Tunnel, which is the highest bored tunnel in the world. It's 1.6 miles long. It channels through at 11,000 feet above sea level. And when you come out the other end of the Eisenhower Tunnel, you have the spectacular panorama of the Colorado Rockies in front of you. You're on Interstate 70. Now, I would not suggest that anyone try to hold their breath through the Eisenhower Tunnel. But as we open our Bibles this evening to 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's as if we've been boring through a tunnel, moving through 2 Timothy verse by verse, until we come to the 10th verse, and suddenly things become brighter. As the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, long suffering. As we open to 2 Timothy, we discover the Apostle Paul is giving warning to his son Timothy. 2 Timothy is a book filled with commandments. There are 25 imperatives or commands in 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul is pulling no punches. This is his last letter. He's writing to Timothy, a young man that he loves dearly. As he writes to Timothy, he is urging Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. He is urging Timothy to receive the things that he was taught, and those same things he is reminded of in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, he's to impart to others who can teach others also. Paul knows that his time is short, and so he is making an appeal to Timothy. He's making an appeal that Timothy would continue forward, that he would receive the counsel that he has been given and be faithful to it. As we open our Bibles to 2 Timothy, we need to be reminded that Paul's appeal to Timothy begins with a pastoral appeal. In the first verses of 2 Timothy, Paul repeatedly says, remember, remember, remember. Paul calls Timothy his beloved son and encourages Timothy to remember the faith of his mother and grandmother. He encourages Timothy to remember the Spirit stirring within him at the time that he was set apart to the gospel ministry. This pastoral appeal moves from those remembrances to a challenge shared in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Don't be ashamed of my chain, and don't be ashamed of the gospel. Why is Paul giving such a challenge to Timothy? Well, back in 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul points out repeatedly that some are wavering, some are not continuing. And so in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 6, Paul says, some have turned aside. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19, Paul says, some have made shipwreck. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 15, he says, some have turned aside after Satan. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, he says, some have been led astray. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 21, he says, some have erred. But when we come to 2 Timothy, the some has become all. Because as we open to 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 15, all Asia have turned from me. And in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, he mournfully says, all men have forsaken me. This book begins with a pastoral appeal that Timothy would continue. It continues with a practical appeal. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul very famously mixes his metaphors all the way through the chapter to challenge Timothy as a teacher, as a soldier, as an athlete, as a farmer, as a workman, as a vessel, to continue to be faithful. When we get to chapter 3, there's a prophetic appeal. Timothy is reminded that in the last days, perilous times will come. Characteristics of false teachers are laid out for Timothy to look into the mirror of God's word and wrestle in his heart as he intermixes with the flock of Christendom. There's a prophetic appeal followed by a very personal appeal. That's the fourth chapter of this epistle. The Apostle Paul even writes to Timothy and says, now bring my coat and bring the parchments. In chapter 3, in verse 10, we break through the tunnel, and the Apostle Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose. The Apostle Paul is challenging Timothy as he moves forward in this epistle to continue. Here we find counsel to continue. I appreciate what Bishop Moule had to say about this particular passage in 2 Timothy. He said, it is a certain relief that we reach this part of the epistle. For some time now we've been detained over the epistle's description and exposure of a propaganda of error, willful and miserable misguiding. We've had to breathe, as it were, the malaria of beliefs and practices, which at their best were a vain substitute for the gospel, at their worst, the deadly opposite. But now we've broken through. It's as if we've come through the tunnel and the lights begin to shine. And in 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 17, there's counsel. Counsel for us to continue, not just to survive, but to thrive. There will be dropouts. There will be defilers. There will be those who are committing doctrinal error. But here's counsel for all those who would fight the good fight of faith, for all those who would continue faithful, beginning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. The apostasy of the wicked is revealed. Now, beginning in verse 10, the authority of God's word is placed up against the apostasy of the wicked. We are challenged. Every Christian needs to be challenged to continue. And so we have before us a challenge to continue. Verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Here's our text this evening. And hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The Bible is filled with exhortations for us to persevere. We discover in Galatians 6 and verse 9 that we're not to be weary in well-doing. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, we're to run with patience the race that's set before us. We discover that the Apostle Paul was willing to forget those things which are behind and press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All of us have faced those challenges to fall back, to retreat, to give up. When I was trying out for the high school basketball team, I was running next to a friend of mine. He'd not practiced much conditioning before tryouts came. And as we were running, I said to him, "Come on, Gary, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. You can make it, you can make it." And he did make it. He not only made the team, but he used to start before I did. While I was riding the bench, Gary was out on the court. And I remember him saying to me, "Chuck, I'm glad you told me to continue. It has been worth it." Well, I didn't know if it was worth it for me right then, but I was glad that Gary had continued. All of us need that encouragement from time to time. Perhaps you're finding yourself weary in well-doing, and you need to be challenged this evening to continue, to be faithful, to fight the good fight of faith. What counsel does the Spirit of God give to us to challenge us to continue? Well, I believe I can summarize the counsel with three statements that are based on what's before us here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. First, we discover in verses 10 and 11 that we will continue if we consider the godly examples of the workers that have gone before us. Then we're going to discover in verses 12 to 13 that we will continue if we guard our expectations along the way. And finally, we'll discover in the end of this chapter that we'll continue if we gain the encouragement that is needed from the Word of God, encouragement that is needed every day. So let's see what's before us here if we'd be challenged to continue this evening. First, let me suggest that you will continue if you recall the godly examples of workers who have gone before you. The Apostle Paul, in verses 10 and 11, reminds Timothy of his behavior, Paul's behavior, how that behavior had been according to God's directives, led by God's Spirit, and could be examined by Timothy to see if he was in the faith. Along the way, all of us need examples to follow. All of us need others to whom we can look for encouragement. When I was just a child, we would go and visit my grandfather. Because my grandfather had suffered a stroke, I always knew where to find him. He'd be in the living room, lying on a hassock that was there. He would have his Bible nearby. He'd have a radio nearby. And from that radio, he would listen to Bible teaching from around the world. He would often write letters to my Uncle Victor, who was a pastor, and to my father, who was a pastor. And he had a desire every time we were there to talk about things of the Lord, especially prophecy. He was an example to me of an older man who had a hunger for God's Word. My father, who will be 90 years of age this coming August, is an example to me. I've known him to be a man of God's Word. I've known him to be a man who on Sundays, now that reading is more difficult, will find himself listening to faithful preacher after faithful preacher and hungering for righteousness. We all need examples in our lives. All of us sometimes feel like Elijah, who thought himself to be alone after he ran away from Jezebel. But we're not alone. There are examples that can be sought out. This is one of the blessings that we have at Colonial Hills Baptist Church. In 1957, this church was founded. It's a joy for us to have our founding pastor and our pastor emeritus with us in this flock so that we can examine their way. It's a joy to be a pastor here and have served for these years and allowing God's people to examine lifestyles. You say, are you being egocentric? No, the Apostle Paul in this passage says to Timothy by way of challenge, challenging this young man to continue, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured." Now we need to be careful. We're not to glory in men. But we need to be careful also to be willing to find some in our lives who can stand before us as examples. That's exactly the counsel that is given in Hebrews 13 and verse 7, where we read, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." In other words, taking a look carefully at the direction of their lifestyle. Follow their faith, but consider their lifestyle and the direction that their feet are actually going. Now, Paul says in verse 10, "Thou hast fully known." He uses an unusual word, proskuletheo. Proskuletheo. The word is used in Luke 1 and verse 3. When Luke is writing his letter, he addresses Theophilus, and he says he has investigated, he has looked carefully, he has done detective work in writing these things that he shares with his friend Theophilus. Even so, Paul says to Timothy, he uses the word literally that means, you have walked near me as my disciple, near enough to sense my emotions, near enough to see my actions, near enough to listen in on my expressions, near enough to know my passions. He says, Timothy, you have walked near, you have known, you have fully known. Now, folks, we're living in a generation where religious teaching becomes farther and farther away or removed. Religious teaching has been removed to internet sources and taped sources and booked sources. But shepherds need to know their flock. And it's a delight for a pastor to know his people. And it's also a responsibility for a people to know their pastor. The Apostle Paul is appealing to this very idea in this passage when he says to Timothy, now as I exhort you to continue in verse 14, let me remind you that you have seen my example. In fact, he's so specific about this as to share 9 different ways Timothy has observed the Apostle Paul. I think these observations can be broken down into 3 categories. First, Timothy has been able to observe Paul's ministerial duties. We find that in verse 10. You've known my doctrine. This is what Paul believes. Surely Timothy knew what Paul believed. Paul was the great teacher of the Gentile church, and Timothy walking with him would have known what Paul believed. You've known my doctrines. He continues, you have known my manner of life. In other words, you've watched my behavior. You've seen how I behave day after day. And then he says, and you've also known my purpose. You understand my burden. And so Timothy knew Paul's ministerial duties. Timothy also knew Paul's personal virtues. Paul reminds Timothy in verse 10, you've seen my faith, you've seen my long suffering, you've seen my charity or my works of love. You've noted in every day, in every way. You know, the best educators are educators who teach by example. We've all heard your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. This is the appeal of the Apostle Paul in this passage. He's saying, you have seen my faith, how I live in reliance on God and believe His promises. You've seen my long suffering, the willingness to carry the burdens that God imposes upon me. You've seen my love for others. And Timothy, you've even seen my difficult experiences. He appeals to patience and persecutions and afflictions. Can I ask you something? Do you have an example? You say, well, examples have failed me. Examples have disappointed me. And yes, they will. All men have feet of clay. Nevertheless, the Apostle Paul would appeal to the Corinthians and say, follow me, mimic me, mimikos, as I follow Christ. And in every church, God will give examples. Examples of the believers, and all should aspire to be such an example. But the example of the believer needs to be seen and appreciated, because that example will cause you to want to continue. And so find an example. Be an example. I love the stories of young people who went to Midwestern School when Dr. Tom Malone was there, the founder of the school. People would come out of Midwestern School and you could tell where they went to school because they slurred their S's. They would say, take your scriptures with me and we're going to share together this evening a story. And people would say, why do all the people who come out of that school speak in such a way? The answer was, Dr. Malone spoke that way. Young students would come out of Bob Jones University when Bob Jones Sr. was the president, and they would rear back their leg and holler, putting their hand up to their mouth as they screamed. And people would note that to be the traits of Bob Jones graduates. They found it amusing when they discovered that that's exactly how Dr. Bob Jones Sr. would preach. Well, why would the students do likewise? Well, they'd seen him do it, but what they didn't know was he did this to hold his false teeth in his mouth. We all see people that set examples, some of them not worthy of following. But when we see those examples that are worthy of following, we should follow with encouragement, knowing that that example becomes for us a motivator to continue. So Paul says, Timothy, continue in verse 14 in the things which thou hast learned. And he appeals to this example. Continue thou. How? Well, recall the examples of the workers that have gone before you. And again, how thankful we can be to be part of a church that for 63 years has provided examples. And how thankful we can be that some of our members have been with us for over 60 years. We look further in this passage and we say, if you're going to be one who will continue, you'll have to guard your expectations. You'll have to guard your expectations about the way. Let me explain. Beginning in verse 12, Paul says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Can I say it this way? Every Sunday, someone will disappoint you. Every Monday, someone will bring discouragement. This passage teaches us that everybody who follows after the Lord should expect some measure of persecution, and everyone who follows after the Lord should be on guard, because there are seducers who will wax worse and worse, who will deceive, who will be deceived. You see, friend, you need to expect to suffer for Jesus, to suffer for the Savior. Jesus clearly said in John 16 and verse 33, in the world you will suffer persecution. The apostles were able to say in Acts 14 and verse 22, we must, through tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. All of those who will know the favor of the Lord must be tested in the furnace of affliction, must be tested in the furnace of persecution. And yet so many shy away, not sharing an open testimony, fearing lest they'll be criticized, fearing lest they'll be rejected. When Charles Haddon Spurgeon was just a young pastor, the crowds were so large that came to hear him. The congregation recommended that they rent a larger facility. And so they rented the Surrey Garden Music Hall, a huge facility. Thousands of people could come. Spurgeon stood to preach. These are in the days before amplification was available. As he stood to preach, someone decided to pull a prank in the audience and yelled out, fire, fire, fire. And people began to run. As they ran, some were trampled and some died. The next day, the newspapers opened up with statements against Charles Spurgeon, saying he was responsible for the deaths of those who died being trampled because people had yelled fire. Spurgeon was so discouraged by the circumstance that he entered into a very morbid depression. His young wife, seeing her young husband's depression, wondered what she ought to do. She knew that every day the newspapers would come out with more cartoons and more stories and more allegations. This is what she did. She wrote a verse in very large letters, and she put the verse on the ceiling above Spurgeon's bed so that when he awakened in the morning, he would read Matthew 5 and verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. A beatitude of blessing for the buffeted. Friend, there is that beatitude of blessing, and we should expect to be buffeted. But continue. Continue expecting that you will suffer for the Savior and expecting that there will be seducing spirits that you will encounter. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. In the days prior to the coming of our Savior, Matthew 24 says in verse 37, it will be like the days of Noah. Dreadful days, challenging days. Might I suggest days like today, days in which countries have embraced abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, days in which vast population groups are out of their minds and the deliriums caused by drugs, days in which fascination with Satanism has increased. Evil men and seducers have waxed worse and worse and have even sold their wares to the very family of God, teaching a prosperity theology and denying the very veracity of the faith. Jesus asked the question in Luke 18, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? It shouldn't surprise us to see evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. And so we're challenged to continue by following after the example of the workers who have gone before us. Continue by guarding your expectation about the way that we walk. Continue. And if you'd continue, you'll continue best if you gain encouragement through the Word of God each day. Verses 14 through 17 are familiar to many. Here the Apostle Paul challenges Timothy to continue, and he challenges Timothy to continue by encouraging him to be a man of the Word. We find here a key text in our doctrine of bibliology. Here is a text that affirms the inspiration of God's Word. Continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, or every good work. Every word in this passage is important. Every word is pregnant with meaning. You see the word all in verse 16? All Scripture is given. That means the historic sections, the sections that have relevance to matters of science, the sections that have relevance to matters of culture. Every part, every verse, we call this the plenary inspiration of God's Word. All Scripture is given. All Scripture, literally graphe, all the writing, everything that you've been given by the hand of the inspired authors is given by inspiration. This is the only time this Greek word is used in the New Testament, but what an important word it is. All Scripture is literally breathed out. The word is theopneustos, two words, theos and neustos. God breathed. We get our word pneumonia or pneumatic from this word, neustos, and theo is God. So he's saying all Scripture literally is breathed out by God. And what an encouragement Scripture is to you. For the Scriptures provide all that's necessary for your salvation. From a child, Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make him wise unto salvation. Men and women, boys and girls, don't come to Christ as Savior by listening to the sound of the birds or the cadence of the brook. The rustling leaves never had the capacity to describe the love of God, which is displayed on the cross of Calvary. Only in the pages of God's Word do we read the account of the death of Christ as an atoning sacrifice for sin. Only in the pages of God's Word is the love of God expressed and the certainty of the resurrection affirmed when Christ raises from the dead. There's natural revelation showing to us the might and power of the hand of God, but there's supernatural revelation. The Apostle Paul is saying, Timothy, you're a privileged young man. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation. The only record that can make a man wise to salvation is the record of the Word of God. How important it is for us to be in God's Word and sharing God's Word and preaching God's Word and holding to God's Word. Scriptures provide all that's necessary for salvation. And Scriptures provide everything that's necessary for our sanctification, our growth in grace. And so Paul says, Timothy, the Bible is profitable for doctrine, your religious teaching. For doctrine, for reproof, your refutation of errors that you see in the community round about. For correction, to set things straight. For instruction in righteousness. This instruction gives you all you need to know to have a happy home, a marvelous marriage, to be a powerful parent. This instruction gives you all that you need to know to be a good manager of your money, to be an excellent employee at work, to be a faithful friend. This instruction gives you all you need to know to be a committed Christian, to be a faithful church member, to be a citizen who makes a difference. This instruction, after all, can make you perfect or mature totally furnished unto every good work. When a person comes through the Eisenhower Tunnel, there's a beautiful vista of the Rocky Mountains. When a person wades through 2 Timothy, you find along the way the challenge of an apostle who knows that his entrance into heaven is nigh at hand, who understands that he has a crown laid up for him that is sure, but he wants to encourage others. Specifically, he wants to encourage Timothy and through Timothy us to continue. And so how do I find courage to continue? All right. Consider an example of a life lived for the Lord. Consider following that example, learning from that example, being encouraged by that example. Consider not only that example, but consider in this passage, the Apostle Paul has given us the challenge that we are to guard our expectations, knowing that along the way we will face even religious apostates and phonies. But best of all, hold fast to the encouragement of God's Word, and may God help you and help me and help our church to continue. May God bless you.